The Nine News podcast is brought to you in association with Freddie Flaxman. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 313, I believe, of the 9 Years podcast. I'm Nick Draper, joined as always by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. And this week we have lots of football news to talk about. We will be looking back at our, I was about to say disastrous, that would be hyperbole, wouldn't it? But our disappointing 2-2 draw with Hartlepool last week. We have news regarding Johnny Jackson, which is a bit unfair. That's a bit of false information. We're going to talk about the Meet the Manager event that was at the club at the stadium on Tuesday night. We're going to talk about Ivor Heller, a few managerial changes in League Two before we look ahead to the trip to Gillingham. Oh, yes, everyone's favourite away day, Gillingham on Saturday. Jackson 5 on that side of it as well. A lot to squeeze into our time this week, Stu. Let me begin with Hartlepool and... Yeah, it was a bit shit in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, do you know what? It was one of those where we got into a 2-0 lead, and it was a case of, I think we all saw 3 points. I felt Hartlepool would score, but didn't envisage what happened. But do you know what I was looking at, right? Because I love like random stats, don't I? But we actually led the game for 59 minutes. So we led the game for just under an hour. Mm-hmm. And then they scored late. That's when it feels like a kick in the teeth, doesn't it? And you, I don't know about you, but when we done a final whistle show, I kept thinking we lost the game. It's just that thing, isn't it? When you see the late goal, you feel like you've lost it, and the momentum is sort of goes with the team that's just equalised, and you feel like you've thrown away 3 points, which really we did.
Yeah, I think absolutely it feels like we did. I thought it felt like a defeat, absolutely. I mean, the problem is that Nick didn't really have a save to make, really. Like, I think I looked back at the stats afterwards and they said they'd had 4 shots on target. And I was thinking, well, they had the 2 goals. I think they had a header in the second half that was not really a shot. Do you know what I mean? It was like the ball travelled in the direction of the goal and Nick had to hold it, but it was not a save or a threatening chance or anything like that. I can't remember another one. The issue again seems to be, without me wishing to sound like a broken record, is that we struggled to create real proper chances as well. So even though we had the 2-0 lead and we shouldn't be throwing that away, we probably should have, given how really Hartlepool were really quite poor, I thought, for long spells as well, really should try to turn the screw, and we just didn't have the ability to do it. And I suppose that's probably why we are mid-table and probably why we shall remain mid-table.
Yeah, it's like we said before, isn't it? You know, I think keeping your clean sheets and being tight against the teams that are decent, so playing as a counter-attacking team, which we've become, is okay. You know, you can get results of that. But when the emphasis is on you to attack, I think, and as I said, you know, we said pre-match that this could be an interesting, could be a challenging game for us because we've got to go and attack this, the Hartlepool. And we did, let's be fair. First half we did, and the second half we got the second goal. But I think you're right. I think when the game started stretching and become like a cup tie, Hartlepool chucked. You know, Hartlepool made a change and put Leon Clark up front and played with a two. And I think that caused us problems. Of course, Alex Pearce went off injured, and I think that really did impact us. But if you look at it, we didn't pass through them, so we still gave Josh Davis some fight balls. I call them. You know, it felt like we had possession, but we weren't able to use the width and get him because there was space. Once they come out, there was space. And there was one thing that summed it up for me was with Paul Cannon-Bai from about 25 yards, crowd us out and shoot, and he shoots when he could have gone wide. And I'm like sitting there thinking, we're not at that stage yet where our centre-half can go and think and go and knock it in the top corner. That's at 4-5-0. And I just felt we weren't clinical. We needed to go for the third and kill it off, but we didn't, and yes, all right. The late goal, yeah, free kick, good free kick, but the late goal is just—it's just giving them. You know, if you give a team hope and they're within one goal, they're going to chuck balls in the box, and they got a ball in. And hey, look, it's a nightmare of a goal that we conceded at the end.
Do you think, as I do, Alex Pearce? If Alex Pearce is on the pitch, I don't think that happens. I genuinely don't think that happens, and maybe even. perhaps we've spoken about our nous that we've gained over the last couple of months. It seemed to be that we seemed to lack a little bit at key moments, and perhaps didn't break the game up at times when we should have done, or try and keep the ball in corners when we should have done. And there's been some speaking about the 6 minutes of injury time that perhaps was added to by our fans not giving the ball back and things like that. So the fans were trying to show a bit of nous. It might have backfired, whatever your views on that. I suppose it's not really the bottom line. The bottom line is, if we defend a simple ball into our six-yard box, we win the game.
Yeah, I don't get this thing about the fans keeping the ball. I found it funny, if I'm being honest with you, but that's me because I'm old school. But the time was added on for the time that it took. So that time still has to be played at some point if we didn't muck around with the ball. You're still going to have, if you haven't killed the game and you're still one goal behind, Hartlepool are still going to chuck balls into the box. End of, do you know what I mean? And that's, we gave them the encouragement by not getting that third. Aaron Pierre come in, and I didn't think he'd done anything disastrously wrong, but we've got to remember, he hasn't played much football. So he hasn't played much football, and Alex Pierce has been probably one of our standout defenders. And of course it makes a difference. You couldn't, you know, it's difficult to know who's picking up who for the goal. You know, the guy is, what, 5 foot tall, and he's got in between our centre-halves, etc., and got a header. First looking at it, I thought maybe Tans comes out for it, but it does loop back in. We're our own worst enemies. We should have gone for that third, but I don't know if it's really not good enough. I think, you know, it's difficult when your counter-attacking team goes long, doesn't go through your midfield, then get in the space and going through your midfield. I just don't think we're used to doing that. And if I'm being honest with you, the pitch is not in a great condition. Yeah. So I probably wouldn't go through the midfield. So it's probably not helping us anyway with that. But, you know, we're going to go onto the stadium tour, but you've got to see the pitch close up.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No, that's a polite way of putting it. There was one moment, I think, of quality. We talk about some sort of tactical elements from the game, but the second goal, I thought, was an example of where we did inject a little bit of quality into it. Ethan Chislett did really, really well. Nice link-up play with Ali, if I remember correctly. Gets a shot away. Goalkeeper pushes it out. You can question the goalkeeper if he did a good enough job there, but and then we had DJ on hand to follow up. So that was good. The cross that Lee Brown puts in for the opening goal, I think, is excellent. Really, really good.
Yeah.
The key difference thing between first and second half was Hartlepool started the game with a back three, and there was a lot of space behind their wide midfielders. They had left a lot of room for Lee Brown to get into. Chris comes to the other side. There was width there for us, and we actually did catch them on the counter. They gave away a sloppy ball in midfield that we pounced on, and Lee Brown was on it, making that run straight away because he knew that's where the space was.
Yeah.
So we did show some quality in those moments, and as we said a couple of weeks ago, we've only had 5 of the current squad that had actually scored goals in the league this season. Well, we've now got Ali off the mark and we've got DJ off the mark. So there are several positives. But yeah, it's just really frustrating, isn't it? Really, really frustrating. A weak free kick to give away. Fantastic free kick and then the goal. But hey, it is what it is.
The thing is that Hartlepool had two lumps up top and they caused us problems when they did. It's just, if you look at the star player we've got, we haven't got a lump. You know, Davison's not six. Well, what is Davison? 6 foot, probably.
Yeah.
We bought Harry Pell on, didn't we? And stuff. Harry's been dropped to the bench, rested, etc., and stuff like that. But it's interesting the way we play. Hartlepool would do better with their forwards because they've got big lumps that can get in. You know, we've all said when Harry Pell plays, we've got somebody who can win headers. So it's just, I think, you know, it's just an interesting side, isn't it? We weren't clinical enough. Yeah, the goal was, Chislett played really well for the second goal. And it's a lot of times, like we said, just get a shot on target. The amount of times we keep passing. This time, shot across the keeper. Keeper's got to parry it, and then we've got someone following in. We haven't done enough of that. So it was pleasing to get that goal. But at 2-0, we're just not used to being leading 2-0. I know it sounds stupid, but we didn't know how to go for the third. We just really didn't. And we just gave Hartlepool encouragement and they took it.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness to Hartlepool, they did say they started at the back three. They switched it at half time and they went to a back four. And we just never got in behind them. But fair play to them for doing that, I guess. And fair play for them to keep it going. It's just frustrating the way it ends up. We made some substitutions. Sam Pearce reappeared all of a sudden. Yes. And got some moments and showed a bit of pace and flair that you know, he might be able to bring to us a little bit more. So there are areas in the squad now where there are changes being made, and there are options for Johnny Jackson to make. And you've mentioned Harry Pell's been on the bench. Jack Curry's been rested as we want with Lee Brown coming in. Rotating between DJ and Ali and Pearson and Janna. So, you know, we've got options. It's
We made four subs. And
there you go. That's unheard of for us.
You know, I've been keeping an eye on the subs, and we're still, you know, in terms of subs across the season, we're still in the bottom four for total substitutions. So that's actually mad on that side of it. Hey, look, I think the interesting one is Jack Curry, again, didn't get on. So we had Sam Pearson, who found Ashton Gate was wrong place to go to and went to our place instead, which is nice, because that's where he should be. And Jack Curry. Hey, look, I think Lee Brown has done well. And you can argue he's set the goal up. But Jack being on the bench after, obviously, the stuff in the transfer window, yeah, it just feels a bit of a waste at the moment, an interesting one to keep an eye on.
Well, we're not sure what the prognosis is on Alex Pearce, excuse me, but do you see some surprising lineups being announced? Because we've got two games. We've got a midweek game coming up. Do you think we're going to see a bit more rotation? Perhaps Pell gets a start here. Perhaps Jack does come in.
Possibly. Yeah, Joey Jackson in the is it still called the South London Press?
Is
that
it?
I don't know.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Did say that Alex Pearce hasn't trained up until Thursday, so I felt a bit of discomfort, was hoping to get some training. We know Will Nightingale's back in full training now. And Aaron Pierre obviously come on Saturday. So we've got options. Do you know what? We've 13 clean sheets this season. That's just as much down to the centre arms as it is down to Zanev, isn't it? But you know, look, when you get an injury and you muck around with the two centre halves, they are so pivotal to a lot of things, aren't they? And that just worries me a little bit. It's a shame that Alex Pearce got injured. But it's Aaron Pierre or Will Nightingale. Dunno, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I just don't think Aaron Pierre's had enough football this season. I really don't. And that's not saying he was at fault on Saturday. I'm just thinking, I just don't think he's had enough football. Would I bring Will back in? But I doubt if Alex Pearce plays, if I'm being honest with you. If he hasn't trained for most of the week, not that he puts a strenuous training in, because he's old. I think we manage his training stuff anyway. But
yeah,
I think it's doubtful he plays on Saturday. Probably more back for the Steamish game. Which, to be honest with you, if you're gonna play, you know, talk about Jack Curry. I think he played the wide up merchants. I think you play Harry Pells, your Alex Pearce, your Lee Brown against Steamish, because they are top. They got a shithouse of manager who's been around the game a long time.
He has been. And it's going to be an interesting game next Tuesday. And obviously, we have the trips to Gillingham. We'll talk about those in a little while. Stevenage not on a great run at the current present time, just as they seem to be looking like they were going to overtake Orient. But anyway, we'll speak more of that in a bit. Other highlight for me on Saturday was the fact that the PA, as we discussed last week, the public address system was a lot lower. The volume was a lot lower, much more comfortable, much happier in the West Stand with that when I came in. Yeah. And there did seem the brightness of the advertising boards did seem to have been adjusted, and it made life a little bit easier. It's still tricky when it gets a little bit darker. So Tuesday night against Stevenage will really put that to a test. But no, happy days. Obviously, club listening to feedback and acting on it, and that's excellent. That's what we like to see. So well done, everyone.
Just quickly, have you put a suggestion in for what we come out to? The club asked for walkout music. I was going to put in there like the Nolans, I'm going to move
of
the
course dancing,
or a bit of Cheese Saturday Night by Wigfield, or but I don't think that a lot of the choices. Do you know what? A lot of the choices like the boys are back in town, and going underground, that sort of old sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Have you got any idea? Are you going to go with the Jingo still?
I would know. My honest answer is anything but Jingo, but literally anything. Now I saw it. I haven't had time to think about it really, because it does take some thinking. Because you want something that's representative of Wimbledon and people can sort of relate to it in some way. I don't want anything cliche. I think the boys back in town are a bit cliche, if I'm honest with you. I don't think I can go with The Game by Motorhead. I think I'll leave that for Triple H. But I mean, that is good walkout music. It doesn't get much better than that. So it's a good thing I'm not in charge of the PA, because I would have all just wrestling themes of them coming out. I'd have had Paige's old theme. That was a great song. Definitely Triple H. Definitely, if we had Steve Austin's, that would be so great. Or the DX Run DMC version. So good if we could get those, but it's never going to happen. So I have to think about some other options.
Do you know what's interesting? There was some discussion on walkout music and stuff like that, and they were saying about Nottingham Forest and Everton have kept their old traditional, but mixed them a little bit, done a mix. And I was thinking, we could have one more song. We could have that, but just mix it, just get a bit of a techno beat on it. So you still keep the old, but you come in with the new, don't you? Do you know what I mean? But I know Danny McKinney's got an idea of putting like highlights, etc., on the big screen and having that crescendo, isn't it, and stuff like that. So I suppose you need, but I think maybe there's more an argument for more than one song, but mixed in nicely, isn't it?
There's a great mix up of Finn Balor's entrance music. Finn Balor is a wrestler from Bray, County Wicklow.
We're not going through wrestlers.
But there's a great mashup on YouTube of his entrance music with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
A mashup I can live with. I think a mashup, that's my gut feeling. But you know what? I was thinking about on Saturday of how we got there. We got to our seat a bit earlier than normal, and then a team just appeared. And it did get me thinking, oh, that's caught me by surprise. Now, I know the game kicks off at 3:00, so I shouldn't be surprised that the players are coming out. But it did get me thinking, actually, do you know what? If there was some sort of massive build-up, we don't want the light show, do we, and stuff like that, because we've got a chance of blowing the power. But it did get me thinking. I think it's a good idea. But I definitely want the flags behind the goals. And, of course, everyone wants the drum. Let's leave it at that.
Stu has channeled Harry Pell with his wind-up merchant antics there.
It's just, do you know what? People have gone literally through the roof about a drum. Like, I don't want a drum.
No.
But the amount of wind-up it's got for people about drums, oh, dear. Yeah.
Yeah, can't be doing. Don't do a drum. Kids, don't do drums. Drums are bad, okay?
Drums are bad. Cool.
All right. What else was I going to say? So we have got some news to come on to. We were both down at the stadium on non-match days for differing reasons this week. I went on the stadium tour on the Friday before, as you alluded to, and got close up to the pitch, which is not in great condition, but the stadium tour was excellent. And we were accompanied, my family and I, taken around by Eric, which was brilliant. Thank you very much, Eric. It was great. Really enjoyed it. It was great to see everything and a very good experience. So I recommend anyone that hasn't yet done that to do so. It's also, I was thinking about what I took away from it chiefly. I sort of, one thing that I think will stay with me was the past players that are up in the changing room where the players change. They're all individual sort of lockers and bits and pieces. They've got shirts with old players with their numbers on, like Taylor 33 and Akinfenwa 10 and things like that. Goodliff 6, Earl 8. So that was quite a nice little touch and a good choice of people to be up there as well.
Yeah, John, you know, I really like that. We do it on the Fridays, and at the moment, only one person signed it. John Fashanu has signed his. So it'd be nice to obviously Lyle's on one of our shows, wasn't it, at the ground? So it'd be nice for the players to come back in maybe and sign those. But yeah, it's a nice touch on that, going back. And then days when most squad numbers were in the single digits. I know Lyle's, I think we should retire 33 personally for Lyle to say that.
No, you would. Yeah.
But yeah, Robbie, I'm still gutted Robbie, come to the stadium just after Christmas when he was over for NBC. Gutted. Do you know what? That guy I've been chasing for years to get an interview with him, and it will happen one day.
It will happen one day.
Yeah, no, it's a nice happen. Touch. So what do you think about the pitch then? It's struggling, isn't it?
Awful. Say no more.
And do you know what? Just before, it's nothing to do with the new groundsman or anything like that. I just think the amount of games, the weather, and now the London Broncos are playing at Plough Lane.
But you know who else's pitch wasn't great was Leighton Orient's. And I think that probably suffers from a very similar problem that we have, which is enabling developments directly surrounding the stadium, not getting enough sunlight to the pitch. I guess it's just one of those things. It's just, it is what it is. But
yeah.
Oh, well. How was your experience on Tuesday, meet the manager? And not just meet the manager, meet the officials, some club officials.
Yeah, it was a really good evening. It was a really good evening. It was enlightening. To be fair, there was four guests in there: Marvin Hamilton from the Academy, Johnny Jackson, Craig Cope, and Danny Macklin. It was a difficult one because I did, feedback wise, I'd probably say he's had more of a select. I think it was too many in terms of a lot of the questions with Johnny Jackson and Craig Cope, probably rightly so. That's the focus. But some good questions. I've met Craig a couple of times, really like him. He's got some good ideas. He says an expression that he keeps saying to me, he says to me time, it goes, woman has got under his skin. He says it quite a bit. And what he says by that, he knew about the story. He spoke to Neil Wardley about, obviously he was at Sullivan Moors, gets on very well with Neil Wardley and understood the story. But I think since being here, he's understood it even more. And he definitely was saying one of the answers was about what type of player that women want. And it's a player that gives it all, works hard, aggressive, does, matches what the matches the fight that the club had. Remember, us fans, we started this club again. Do you know what I mean? We're fire in our belly, and he recognized that that's what we want. But it was good. It was good. I know there's been, I know there's been some questions about why was it not streamed live and stuff like that. I look, from a personal point of view, I didn't want to stream it. I wanted to have an evening where I just enjoyed and was a fan for the evening. So from a selfish point of view, I didn't want to do it. And also, I think the club, it was an in-person chat. And we agree everyone can't get there. But I also think they'd have been a lot more candid if it had been streamed. And I thought we got some really good answers and as many other events. So I think there's a place for many, many different Q&A. But Danny Macklin did say that he wants to do more of these and probably in different environments and probably some that are streamed. But it's good to see that we're getting different type of events, and it was a really enjoyable evening. And I had a drink, and had a bit, and Terry Skibbon, by the way, Terry Skibbon is an absolutely, he's just so funny. Terry Skibbon is just so funny. He comes out of one-liners. I can see why I keep him away from the microphone, to be fair, a lot of the time. But they're a good mix, them two, and Johnny Jackson. But you know what? He seemed really relaxed, Johnny Jackson. And that's nice because remember, he's a Charlton man. We'll keep reminding him of that, don't we? But it feels like he's now getting, he understands Wimbledon and he's starting to look like one of ours.
One other of ours is changing roles at the club.
Good link.
We have just found out this prior to starting recording. So it's a huge thank you for everything to Ivor Heller, who I believe is now moving from his role as commercial director to life vice president at the club. Of course, Ivor instrumental in setting the club up in 2002. We would not be here if it wasn't in part due to Ivor's passion and desire and ability to get people going and get us underway, giving us a place to get the club started. Essentially, without him, we'd have no premises to do anything, to be able to sell season tickets, to be able to raise funds, to pay fees to FAs, to actually make us a legitimate football club, senior football club. So thank you very much, Ivor, and lots of things will be planned, well, have already been planned, to say thank you to him at various events over the next few months. But changes are afoot, Stu, judging by the article on the official website.
Yeah, and do you know what? I think it's really important that he's recognised. When you think about it, 2002, now 21 years since then, nearly 21 years coming up very soon, isn't it?
Is. It
22,
is.
yeah, 20, yeah, 21 years, yeah, coming
21
very soon.
years, yeah, as MC Harvey once nearly sort of sang.
Well, it might feel like 21 seconds to be fair
Well, it probably has,
to
actually, yeah.
Ivor, but do you know what? I think we got a lot of people involved back then. Chris Stewart, Trevor Williams, Mark Jones. They're getting on a bit now. I'm not saying they're old. Some look old, to be fair, Trev, nonetheless. I'm only joking. But what I mean by that is, like, I think
Glass
it's
houses,
really
Stu.
good. Yeah, mate, I've always looked bald. But I think what I mean by that is, do you know what? I think it's a really good solution. And the reason I mean by solution is I think Ivor's done so much, it's 21 years. And I think he deserves to have a bit, just to enjoy it. A vice president is more than what he deserves. Still involved in match day, still around the club. It was an interesting comment that Danny Macklin says in terms of commercials going in different direction. And that's nothing really against Ivor. Ivor's done a great job. But I think, like anything now, we've got a head of football operations come in, different approach. We've got Danny coming in, different approach straight away. And obviously Danny looks at, in terms of that commercial side of it, might be looking at a different direction. And that's nothing against what Ivor's done, because let's be fair, some of the stuff he's done been really, really good. But the club is growing, and it's that next step now, isn't it? And I'm still going to be there, and I'm sure we'll still hear him, see him. Well, you can't see him, but yeah, I just think it's a perfect fit. I really do, and he rightly so should go out with a bang, and I'm sure he will.
Got Johnny Jackson, got Craig Cope now. We obviously already have Pietro Palladino on the commercial team. Any more alliterative names? Is the next commercial director or whatever we do, someone new coming in, do they have to have an alliterative name? Is that a deal breaker for you?
So what, it's going to be interesting. I just think, you know, there's so many commercial opportunities that things just change, don't they? And we're just growing. You know, we're not changing. We're growing and we're getting more experienced. And hey, look, I don't know how old Ivor is. He's always been the same height. He hasn't shrunk, has he? I just think it's great.
I hope
it's
he hasn't
great.
shrunk.
I know, but you know, I get on well with Ivor. I think it's great that he's been recognised as the vice president and just enjoying match days. Do you know what I mean? He's still around, involved, which he should be. And you know, it'd be interesting to see what Danny's got in terms of ideas, because let's be honest with you, the revenue is really, really important. We need to grow the revenue. So obviously that's another step into Danny's vision.
And we did mention MC Harvey there, who was at the stadium on Saturday, but nothing, his presence was nothing in comparison to that of Jay Boothroyd. And I, for one, as a lifelong Wimbledon fan, was delighted to see Jay Boothroyd on the pitch at halftime on Saturday.
Do you know what, right? I couldn't get what you were moaning at, well, not moaning about. I saw something about Jay Boothroyd. I'm like, what is he going on about? And then there was a link to MC Harvey's TikTok.
Right.
And a sort of thing. He'd done this thing, like a TikTok thing, and he'd done this sort of like, I don't know what it was. It was like Harvey sort of ending. It was like a signature end move, like go Harvey. And I was like, oh,
oh dear.
Yeah, I'm like, is that what people do nowadays? But then I did see the footage of Jay, and I'm like, oh, I get it now. When did he play Wimbledon? Like, did he play? Did we just is was he here in on the Combine Counties? We just didn't register him? I don't know.
I have no answer to any of these questions, Stu.
But you know what? It's really weird, isn't it, when these people don't look like they've aged too much. Like, MC Harvey still looked, got a bit of a goatee, but he still looked pretty young, didn't he?
Alicia Dixon, his former wife, she does not appear to have aged at all. Neither has Rachel Stevens or Tina, don't know her surname, from S Club 7. I think it's Barrett, actually, but yeah.
Yeah, and all these old bands. And look, we could have S Club 7, we could have Reach for the Stars. That could be one of the music we come up for. Some sort of uplifting Reach for the Stars. And we could probably, they could come on pitch and we'd sing it. They look like they're full. They're all like full. And it's weird, right, when groups come back and they're old. Like, there was a reason why you were popping in the time. Like, we now know you're skimp, so you've got to come back, but you're old and you're trying to do the same dance routines. End of.
It's not going to work. It's not going to work. But hey. Nah. Anyway, right, we are rapidly running out of time. Very quickly, so Hartlepool having drawn with us on Saturday, then lost to Newport in midweek, and following that, Keith Curl was given the axe, if that is a phrase. We suppose they swung the axe at him, maybe. I suppose, unless they did genuinely just hand him an axe in some sort of metaphor. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He's left. And Matt Bloomfield has also left Colchester because he's gone to take the Wycombe Wanderers job. Gareth Ainsworth, employed now by Queen's Park Rangers, which I suppose was always going to happen at some point. QPR, who were a little bit screwed over by, was it Mick Beale? Michael Beale?
Yeah, Michael Beale went to Rangers.
Went to Rangers, yeah. Having said he'd never leave for another job that had come up before that, the Villa job, I think.
Yeah.
He then went to
I think it was assistant manager. Was it assistant manager or something like that? Yeah. I'm not too sure.
Yeah. So anyway, a bit of a managerial merry-go-round. Colchester have been improving as late. Stu, you mentioned earlier about us not having a big lump up top, and we saw Colchester with John Akindi, how big a difference that can make. They worked very well with him up there against us, even though we went on to win the game. But they've been improving, so hopefully whoever comes in will be able to keep their upward momentum going, because what I really want to happen, Stu, is I really want Hartlepool to stay up, despite them falling into the bottom two because of Gillingham's resurgence, and Crawley to go down, and not Colchester.
Yeah, but Crawley's a good away day because we thought, oh, my cat's back. Sorry, my cat is back again. It's like he just doesn't want me to record a podcast. Hey, that's actually a shame. I keep forgetting. Anyway,
we had this conversation last week. We're not going back. We're not revisiting that.
It's because I have a male dog and a female cat. Look out. I don't know, Johnny. Hartlepool were a bit naughty, weren't they, after our game? And not that I want to wish anything bad on them. I think it's Rochdale one over, isn't it? But yeah, Crawley dropping in. Possibly, I'm not so sure, to be fair.
Who would miss Crawley? That's all I'm saying. At least Hartlepool's got a proper stadium and proper history and proper club. Anyway.
And miles away.
It is a long way away, but I can live with that because I've been there, so I don't ever have to go back. Right. Very quickly then. Jackson 5, Stu, this week. Where's it gone? Yep. Here it is. So, Hartlepool on Saturday was the sixth time since the start of last season that we have conceded an injury time equaliser in the league, be it League One or League Two. Can you name the other five occasions this has happened since the start of the 2021-22 season?
I've just got to name the team, yeah?
And the result, if you can.
Gillingham.
Yeah.
1-1.
Yeah.
That's the only one I can think of the top of my head. Late equalisers.
Yeah.
That one's equalised late. Oh, this is a difficult one. I can't remember the name of the team. League. Bradford.
Yeah. Away at Bradford this season. Yeah. Well done. Yeah.
2-2.
Yeah.
Anything else this season? I'm probably gonna kick myself when I. No, I think I'm done at two.
You reckon?
Forgot last season, to be truthful. Wickham late 1-1.
Yeah, 2-2. 2-2 with Wickham at Adams Park with the penalty they got in the last minute.
I can't think of any others.
No,
I think I've done well to get three. I didn't know I was going to get any.
You did well with three there. The ones you missed were this season, Doncaster at home, when they equalised with almost the last kick of the game. Yeah, we were 2-0 up and they scored two late goals.
Yes, last season you mean?
No, this season, Doncaster at home, third game of the season in the league. Nathan Young-Coombs scored twice late on and then they got a goal out of nothing and then they got a header in injury time to give us all horrendous PTSD from drawing 2-1 with Doncaster the previous season. And then the other one, which I'm not surprised because I had forgotten about this one, was Sheffield Wednesday at Hillsborough. We lost 2-1.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, I think it was Mark Bowen's first game in charge. So
yes, first of six. Seven.
And zero wins. Anyway, we won't hold that against him. It's not fair on him either, really. Gillingham on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm not going because I vowed never to return to Gillingham unless we're playing them in like an FA Cup tie. Certainly not. Certainly, unless there are some high stakes in a league meeting, I won't return otherwise because I've been there so many times, John. Boy, I'm sick of it. Same as I said with Northampton and Oxford and Southend. These are grounds that I never have any interest in returning to. So, yeah, anyway, are you going?
No, away games, I'm to be fair. Yeah, obviously, with my little boy now, I was going to spend some time with him, obviously, especially doing these stadium tours at the moment. So, yeah, no, conscious decision not to go, and it's Gillingham. But also, because we've got two games coming up, Stevenage, and then Mansfield at home, haven't we? So we've got, which is, obviously, Mansfield is our birthday game. What a delight. Mansfield at home, that's a top draw game.
Personfield.
Now I get, do you know what, you chuck that on a WhatsApp group and I'm looking back thinking, what are you going on about? Of course, your joke's just too technical sometimes. Themfield.
Themfield. What was I going to say? We have got Stevenage on the Tuesday night, you're right, so we've got another game. Thank you very much to my employers for scheduling Year 7 Parents Evening for that, because, you know, I really want to make a last minute, like, dive, ditch, whatever, last ditch attempt to get to Plough Lane in time for kickoff. But hey, I will make it there. But Gillingham currently sit 22nd, I believe, in the League Two table. And they have won.
Do you know what? No, I was just going to say to you, if you look at our next three games, all those teams have in the last eight are in really good form. So Stockport have got 17 points out of eight. We've got eight out of eight, so a point per game. Deal's 16, Stevenage 12, and Mansfield 14 out of the last eight games. So we're
Tough
playing
run.
teams in form. Isn't that lovely?
Tough run, just what we want. Although Stevenage, I don't know, they've picked up some dodgy results of late as well, so I'm not so sure. I think, but anyway.
And they're still in a cup, aren't they? They've got a cup this weekend, haven't they? Is it
Yeah,
this
I think you're
weekend?
right. No, they're
They're still
were
in the
knocked
cup
out.
after
No,
beating
no.
Villa, isn't
No, they got knocked out last round,
it? Did
didn't
they
they?
get knocked out after Villa?
Yeah. They went somewhere like
Shows
who did they go
the
to? Stoke? I think they got knocked out by Stoke. So yeah.
Yeah, that shows you how far behind I am. So Stevenage are out. So.
Yeah, so but thanks anyway. But yeah, I mean Gillingham in terms of form guide, yeah, they've won four of their last six, drawn one, lost one. The one defeat was to Mansfield, which ties in with what you say there about current form because they're doing well. We are back to our run of four draws from the last six. That still is in, still the case. Ollie Hawkins and George Lapsley are the ones to watch out for because they are scoring goals, and their new strike force at Gillingham brought in January, reaping instant rewards and instant dividends for them. Neil Harris is doing a good job. They will be a totally different proposition to the ones that we faced on the opening day, even though a few days later they still managed to beat us in the League Cup.
Yeah,
Yeah, disappointing.
Stevenage 10 players in, four out. Yeah, Nichols and Hawkins. Interesting one that went out was Mandarin, went out to Motherwell, random. But maybe that was just to bring the finances in. But yeah, it's just a tough game. It's annoying, isn't it? Because if we had the return fixture before Christmas, then we'd be playing a totally different team. But they've spent a lot of the transfer window, haven't they? So it's a tough game. It's a tough game, and it's a week. Do you know what? It's a free game week, and it's probably the toughest week we could have. So, yeah, let's see what we come out with at the end of it.
What's your prediction for Gillingham?
My head says we're probably going to lose by a single goal. I'm being honest with you, I think probably a 1-0 defeat.
I'm going to go for a surprise victory because we've not won, well, we've not won in February, so I don't want to go a whole calendar month. Even though we've got two more games technically in February, because Stevenage does still somehow. When's this month going to end? It's the shortest month of the year and it seems to never end.
It ends when March starts.
Thanks. Thanks for that.
Well, I just said we've got two more games, haven't we? We've got this and we've got Stevenage.
Yes, that's what I was
I
just saying.
got totally confused, by the way, because like Pancake Day, I thought was a lot earlier in a month, and it's not. Yeah, I don't know. So,
It depends on
is it always late
it's the
normally?
Christian calendar, Stuart. It depends on where it falls, where Easter falls, and then you work backwards from there.
Well, I've got my pancake mix anyway, so I'm a bit late now, but I'm gonna with Thomas. We're gonna try and flip some pancakes. He'll probably just eat them right. He'll probably eat them before he flips them to best them, but you know.
I must admit, it was Pancake Day on Tuesday, but I don't know, it just felt a bit flat to me. But anyway, elsewhere in League Two on Saturday, Doncaster versus Bradford seems to be the pick of the fixtures for me because it's a Yorkshire derby and they're both in the contention for the playoffs, which is why when people still sort of say, do we have an outside choice to chance the playoffs? I kind of look at the league table now and I say, well, we're fighting over one place because I think the top six in the division will be the top six come the end of it. So then you've got everyone else in a bit of a scrap for the other places, for the remaining place, sorry.
Doncaster Bradford's 10th versus 8th, isn't it? The other one that's decent is Mansfield Salford.
Okay. Yeah.
Six versus 7th.
I know, but you know what? When you just say it, though, it sounds so shit, doesn't it? Mansfield versus Salford.
Demfield, of
Benfield,
course.
sorry.
We've
Yeah.
renamed them. Do
Yeah.
you know what's really interesting? Right? If you look at the last 8 games, Salford 17 points, yet they lost to us. We beat 1-0.
Who was that, sorry?
Stockport, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
17th, top of the form guide, beating 1-0, decent side, but they've just gone on from strength to strength since they lost to us. And hey, look, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, isn't it? And I think we're showing obviously that we just don't have that consistency. But I think we'll finish around about 10th. That'd be my gut feeling.
Yeah, and
And
really
then it's
happy with that.
just exactly, and then it's just literally how we get on for next season. So I think we know what we've got to do. But you know what? It's been a good season in terms of understanding the league. And one of the questions I said to Johnny was about that, and he said he understands the league a lot better than he did when he started. And I think our recruitment will reflect that in the summer, hopefully.
Updates will, of course, be on our Twitter for both coming games this week at 9 Wireless Podcast. We'll all very much enjoy being sat behind the away dugout for Steve Evans once again. And we'll see what antics he gets up to. Although we shouldn't forget Jake Reeves is returning as well. So it'd be good to see Jake Reeves coming down to Plough Lane. And
yes,
Ryan Sweeney's brother, Dan Sweeney, who you know, has nothing to do with AFC Wimbledon whatsoever outside of that. But hey, Jay Bothroyd got a round of applause. So why not Dan Sweeney?
That poor bloke.
Who do you think it will be next week? Who do you think we're going to get on next week? The fun, I asked a few people, and the best response to this was next week it's Rule Fox. That's a great.
It's just, why did he come? Has everyone found out? Have we asked the question? Did I ever get confused? Or did just MC Harvey go, I can't go out on my own in case I look stupid and I'll bring out, oh, I don't know. It's just, yeah. The thing is, did he sign autographs in the autograph zone at the end of the game? That's the question, isn't it?
Probably. It was him with Darren Huckabee and Ian Wone.
And Bruce Grobbelaar behind.
Steve Cash.
Anyway, But by the way, the autograph zone apparently was very popular on Saturday. It's now where the By the Horns is, the Phoenix Pub, and apparently it's really popular. So it's another good thing that the club are doing. With the kids, and apparently there's quite a few adults wanting autographs on Saturday.
Happy days, all good. Before we sign off this week, we have to just, I would like to just pass on our feelings about John Motson, an icon on football TV coverage, sadly passed away, announced today, 77 years old, but soundtrack to many great moments, particularly for me as an England fan of years past, and of course for those that were around the famous lines when we won the FA Cup. So I think he's inextricably linked with us for those comments he made in the 88 Cup final. And yeah, I think what a fantastic body of work John Motson had, what a career he had, and it seemed like an all-round nice guy. I think everyone liked him, not a bad word to say, and yeah, what a great life he was. So I'm sure he will be remembered fondly.
Yeah, it's such a shame. 10 World Cups he did. Wow. That's ridiculous, isn't it? When you think they come every 4 years. But yeah, if anything like this, it's always sad to lose such a great, but if anything good comes out of it, you get a chance to re-listen to his magical commentary. And sometimes the best commentators are the ones that don't say too much and just keep it simple. And he was one of those.
Absolutely. Well, talking about keeping it simple, that was the 9 years podcast. And that is it for us for this week. So, Stu, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last, 2 + 2 = 4. And we shall speak to you again next week.
They've won the FA Cup. And on the day, who can deny them their right? They stopped Liverpool playing. And their energy and their enthusiasm and their enterprise did enough to keep them in front once they got there. If you can beat Liverpool at Wembley, you deserve the ovation. Well, just look at this.